Thank you. Well, good morning, church.
Morning.
It's so good to see all of you here this morning. For those who are still coming in, welcome. Welcome to each and every one of you. Welcome to Sittingbourne Baptist Church. And if you are here for the first time, or second, or third, or 350th time, you are all very welcome. This morning is our communion service, and shortly we are going to draw close to the table of unconditional love poured out for us on the cross at Calvary. So for all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in a short while we're going to partake of the body and of the blood of Jesus Christ. Before we come to a time of song worship together, I want to call your attention to a few verses from John chapter 4. And this is going to establish our context together for our time of worship this morning. John chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 20. And I'm going to ask if we can get it on the screen. The screens are working. We're going to read alternatively, and then we're going to close out and read together verse number 24. Nope. Not good. Okay. All right, I will read in your hearing. This is the story. Oh, we've got it. Good. Good. All right, so I'm going to read the first verse, and then you'll read the second one as a congregation, and then we'll read 24 together. So it reads, "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Verse 21. Let's read together.
"Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem."
And 22 reads, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet time is coming,
and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks."
And in verse 24 together, "God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." Amen. And that is exactly what we have come together to do this morning, to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For that is the only way that Jesus prescribes to us, the proper way to worship, in spirit and in truth. Not just to only worship him in one specific location, like the Samaritans who worshipped only in Mount Gerizim, or the Jews who preferred to worship in Jerusalem. And for us today, perhaps many say, "Well, I worship when I go to church. That's where I worship." But the Father is seeking, he is looking for worshippers that will not just worship him in the gathered sense, in church, but that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is, everywhere we go, we can worship him in spirit and in truth. But of course, it's extra special when we are afforded the blessing to come together as a church. So as we do that this morning, as we sing together, as we pray together, as we partake of communion together, let us be thankful in our hearts this morning that we have this wonderful blessing that God has afforded us this morning, that we can come together and worship him. Let us take up the invitation this morning and worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And with that being said, we're going to stand and we're going to sing together. If you're able, come. Now is the time to worship. Now is the time to worship. Amen. Please do take your seats. The invitation from the Lord Jesus this morning is to come. Come into his presence. Come into his presence where there is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Let us come to a time of prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you have warmly invited us into your courts, into your presence. And Lord, we're mindful that we do not deserve this invitation, because all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. We recognize, Lord, that we are sinners saved by your grace. And Father, we do not merit to come into your presence, because you are holy, you are righteous, and you are perfect in all of your ways. Yet because you love us, yet because your grace is sufficient for each and every one of us, you allow us to come in freely into your presence because of the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Then every single one of us can respond to your grace, and we can take up that invitation to come into your presence. So Father, we thank you. We say thank you so much for thinking of us, even when we were not thinking of you. Your grace is sufficient for all of our sins. And Father, as we come now to partake of what represents our salvation, the cross of Calvary, the broken body, and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may we be mindful and grateful in our hearts at all that it took for Jesus to purchase our salvation with his blood. So we thank you and we love you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 As the deacons come and join me as we prepare to serve the elements of communion. This invitation is freely available to all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. You are warmly welcome to partake of the elements of communion. But if you're not yet at that place where you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself, and I'll encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ for yourself. Amen? Amen. Paul is going to come at this time, one of our deacons. He's going to lead us in a prayer of thanks for the bread and for the wine.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these emblems. We just praise and bless you, Heavenly Father, God, that we can, Lord, as we sit in you, we're sitting in your presence. And I ask, Heavenly Father, God, that you bless each one in this place.
Yes.
Lord, as they receive these emblems this morning, Lord, that Heavenly Father, God, that your love will flow unto each one in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he records these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you. That the same night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around the table with his friends, his disciples, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to them, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Well, church, as you are now served with what represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen.
Oh,
broken for you. In like manner, he then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant that will now be in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat of the bread and we drink from the cup, we do show forth and we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Amen. As you are now served with what represents the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ poured out on the cross of Calvary, please do retain your cup until we've all been served, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our oneness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let us drink together now the blood of Jesus Christ. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there. It was there. By faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. It's one more time. At the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I first. Yes, and the burdens of my heart, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Father, we thank you so much for your broken body and your shed blood. We thank you that we have a firm foundation as a church, that our hope and our future, our present, it's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we have a firm foundation, that we can trust you. Even though life can be so topsy-turvy, we can trust you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, as your people, that we may be effective as a church, to continue to share your truth, to share your love, and to tell of the wondrous story of the cross. Lord, help us each and every day to be effective witnesses for you in word and in deed. We give you the glory now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue in worship, and we're going to have our next song, Praise is Rising, followed by The Heart of Worship. So if you want to stand, or if you want to remain seated, however you feel comfortable, let us worship our great God together. Amen.
To you.
Let's just wait on the Lord as we just bask in his presence. If anyone here wants to just lead us in a prayer of thanks, something on your heart that you want to just express to God, then feel free to do so now as we lift up the name of Jesus and we bring glory to his name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us. We thank you that through that blood, we can come before your presence. And we want to thank you, Lord, that this morning you've reminded us again of your death, of your resurrection, of your glory. We know we serve a living God, and we are grateful for this to be partakers of your body and blood. Thank you, our Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, we bless you that we are here to appreciate you. Not only by our own strength, once again, it is your grace that you've given us, the love that you've given us. Lord, we come in return to appreciate you. Great God, we bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, we're mindful that we serve a perfect God, but we do not live in a perfect world. This world, Lord, that you have created because of sin and disobedience of humanity. Lord, we've turned to our own way. And Lord, we've lifted up our souls to vanity and to pride and to disobedience. And Lord, we know that your heart bleeds and aches for the things that you see on a daily basis around this world, things that break your heart. And you are moved with compassion when you see suffering and you see, Lord, evil, Lord, exposing itself in various ways. And Lord, we do pray for those around the world right now who are suffering, Lord, who are in bondage, for those, Lord, who are captive, for those, Lord, who are not able to, Lord, pray openly or read your word openly without the fear and the threat of persecution. Lord, we think very much of those around this world. And we continue to pray, Lord, for the ongoing wars, Lord, in the Middle East. We pray, Lord, that you will just reign supreme, Lord, and you would just, Lord, impact, Lord, those areas with your love and with your light. And Father, finally, I pray that you would just continually prepare us as your church, Lord, to be all that you desire us to be so that we can make a difference in this generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we bless you now. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's time to ask that important question. Does anyone have the joy of a birthday this week or this coming week, next week? Any young? Who's that? Yes, come on down. Come on down. Yes, I've got one. Another one? Oh! She can't even see what her son is doing. Happy birthday, Flabby. Yes, come on, Louisa, come. First of all, tell us, how old are you?
I'm going to be 9.
You're going to be 9. Tomorrow? Wow, amazing. You're going to be 10. Wow. Double digits. Yes. Or would you like to take something from the birthday box on behalf of the church? Ah, what's that? Is that a Barbie? Yes. Well, enjoy it. Can we sing happy birthday to you? Let's do it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Hey, happy birthday. Amen. Our children and our young people are now going to leave us for their groups. Have a wonderful time learning more about the Lord. Have a great time in your groups. And all of the youth leaders and children's workers, God bless you as you serve. We're going to do blessed assurance. Just blessed assurance, yeah? Such a joy to see so many children and young people in the church. We thank God for each and every one of them. Well, before we get into the word of the Lord this morning, we're going to have one more hymn that we're going to sing together. And it's such a blessing that we are a multi-generational, intergenerational church. And we love to sing a variety of different songs. New songs, contemporary, but also we don't want to lose sight of some of the old hymns of the church. We like to have a wonderful blend and mix of contemporary and also some of the old school hymns of the church as well. And we're going to sing an old hymn now at this time before we get into the word of the Lord. And it's Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. The words are going to appear on the screen, and the musicians are going to lead us, and we're going to stand and sing together, Blessed Assurance. Let's sing.
Spirit.
Please do take your seats. Father, we thank you so much for worship that has been spirit-filled and heartfelt. Thank you so much that you are with us through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we come now to for a short while to hear a word from you, we pray that you would just open our eyes and our hearts, that, Lord, we may see the things of the Spirit. Lord, would you encourage us, inspire our hearts, and Lord, even challenge us in those areas that we need to be challenged in. Lord, we want to leave this place knowing more about thee, and Lord, being more readily prepared to do your bidding, Lord, in this day and in this age. So anoint me afresh as your servant, and give me boldness to preach, Lord, your unsearchable riches. We thank you and we give you praise now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing our sermon series this month, Refocus. And today we're talking about the theme, and the title is Refocus My Passion. Can we say that together? Refocus My Passion. And the subtitle this morning is It's Time to Get to Work. Let's look at your neighbor sitting beside you next to you and say, It's time to get to work. It's time to get to work. Our reading this morning is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of this, but we're going to start tech team at verse number 6, and we'll work our way through. This is the letter to the church, the Thessalonian church in the Macedonian region, in now what's modern day Greece. And Paul is writing to the church, and he has a few matters to bring to their attention. And look what he says here in chapter 3, verse 6. He says, In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive. Can we say idle and disruptive? Yes. And does not live according to the teaching you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. And we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. This was, Paul is recounting his time with the church on his missionary journey. He said, I haven't been a burden to you. You know, we worked for our food. We didn't put all the burden on you. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, we did this not because we did not have a right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. And verse 11, we hear that some among you are, here it is again, idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, here it is, never tire of doing what is good. Never tire from doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them. This is very strong words. In order that they may feel ashamed. Yet, look what Paul says in 15, our final verse. Yet, do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Amen. It's time to get to work. Friends, there's a story of an elderly lady who was planning a couple of weeks holiday on a campsite in Florida. She was quite a delicate and an elegant lady, and she was quite elegant with her vocabulary and her language. And as she put to pen, to write a letter to the campsite in order to seek clarification on a few important matters, and in particular, she wanted to make sure that the campground would be fully equipped for her daily needs. But she didn't quite know how to go about putting on paper to ask about the toilet facilities on the campground. And out of sheer embarrassment, she just couldn't bring herself to write the word toilet in her letter. So after much deliberation, she finally came up with the old-fashioned term bathroom commode. Bathroom commode. But when she wrote down bathroom commode, she still thought that she was being way too forward. So she started all over again, and she rewrote the entire letter to the campground. And this time she decided to refer to the toilet simply as BC. BC. Does the campground have its own BC? Well, the campground owner, he wasn't old-fashioned at all. And when he got the letter, he couldn't figure out what the lady was talking about. This inclusion of BC in the letter, it really stumped him. And after worrying about how to respond to the letter for several days, he decided to show the letter to some of the other people who were staying on the campsite. But they themselves, they couldn't figure out what the lady meant. So after a while, the campground owner, he came to the conclusion that the lady must have been asking about the location of the nearest Baptist church. Baptist church. So he sat down and he wrote the following reply. Dear madam, I regret very much the delay in answering your letter, but now I take great pleasure of informing you that the nearest BC is located 9 miles north of the campsite, and it's capable of seating up to 250 people at one time. Then he goes on to say, now, I admit it's quite a distance away if you are in the habit of going regularly. But no doubt you will be pleased to know that a great number of people, they take their lunches along. And they even make a day of it. In fact, they usually arrive early and they stay late. You'll also be interested to know that the last time my wife and I went to the BC was 6 years ago. And it was so crowded. And we had to stand up the whole time we was there. He then goes on to say, it may interest you to know right now that there is a supper being planned to raise money to buy more seats. They plan even to hold a supper in the middle of the BC, so everyone can watch and talk about this great event. And then he goes on to draw the letter to a conclusion by saying, I would like to say that it pains me very much not to be able to go more regularly, but it is surely not for a lack of desire on my part. Because as we grow older, it seems to be more and more of an effort particularly in cold weather. And then he closes out the letter with an invitation. He says, if you decide to come down to the campground, then perhaps I could go with you. The first time you go, I will go and sit with you, and I'll introduce you to the other folks. This is a really friendly community. Now, I can only imagine the horror and the shock on the face of the lady after reading the manager's reply. However, church, in a real sense, as humorous as this story may be, the misunderstanding of this lady's letter was exactly what was taking place right here in the Thessalonian church. Because right here in the scene of our text this morning, Paul has to address in his second letter to them a classic example of a big misunderstanding. Because the church located in what is now modern day Greece had seemingly misread and misunderstood Paul's first letter to them. As Rochelle Goodrich suggests, she says that what we say doesn't always paint an accurate picture of what we mean. Because sometimes, as clear and precise as we're trying to be with our communication, sometimes the receiving end of who we're talking to is not always able to fully ascertain the accuracy of what we really mean. And the message that Paul delivered in the first instance to the church in Thessalonica was simply about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say in the first letter in chapter 5, he says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And in verse 3, Paul goes on to say, while people are saying in the community, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains with a pregnant woman, and they will not be able to escape. However, the Thessalonian church, they interpreted Paul's message and his teaching about the return of Christ to literally mean that in their lifetimes, that Jesus Christ would in fact return. So many in the church decided, friends, that since Christ was coming back in their lifetimes, they decided, well, we might as well quit our jobs. Forget about working. We will take an early retirement. We will down tools. We'll forget about serving evangelism and the various ministries in the church, and we'll simply do nothing but wait. We will just sit back with our arms folded, and we will wait for Jesus to appear. Because any day now, Paul told us that Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. They misunderstood what Paul was saying. The complication, church, was plain to see, because basic mathematics is always undefeated, because 100% of nothing equals nothing. Nothing add nothing equals nothing. Come on, you know your maths. Nothing times nothing equals
nothing.
And because the church had slipped into a lethargic state of doing absolutely nothing but sit back and wait, their idleness led them to a state of losing their productivity and their passion. They lost their passion and their drive to do the work of the Lord. And as the famous old saying goes, that the devil finds work for idle hands. And seemingly such is the case right here before us for the church in Greece. Their idleness, their laziness, it birthed into fruition a tendency now to preoccupy their time of doing nothing, to replace it for gossiping and idleness. They did nothing but meddle in the affairs and the lives and the business of their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Because they quit their jobs, because they had nothing to do, they filled up their time by gossiping and catching up on the latest topics of who's doing what. As Mary Eddy puts it, great mischief comes from attempts to steady the altars of other people. Because the reality, friends, is when we find the time to meddle and gossip about the lives of other people, then that lets us know that we have too much time on our hands. It lets us know, secondly, that we are not being wise stewards with our time. So Paul here, in the second letter, in chapter 3, he wastes no time in addressing the topic of the matter. And he says in verse 6, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive. Idle and disruptive. The apostle, he does not mince his words here. He understood the great danger, church, in a congregation downing tools, quitting their jobs, withholding back from serving, and sitting around doing nothing but gossiping and meddling in the other people's business. And friends, allow me to encourage you this morning that the reasons that we may make for holding back or stopping from doing the work of the Lord, our reasons to sit back and do nothing may vary. Our reasons for calling it quits and calling it a day may not be as drastic as the Christians in the Thessalonian church. But please understand, church, that the devil would want nothing more than for the church of today to be busy doing nothing. And busy doing everything else but doing what we ought to be doing. He would want nothing more, friends, than to see a misunderstanding morph into the downing of tools to get us away from focusing on the kingdom of God. Focusing on prayer, focusing on evangelism, focusing on sharing our testimonies and our stories with the lost, focusing on Bible study and discipleship. Because the plan of the enemy is to sow discord amongst the church, to draw our attentions away from serving the purposes of Christ, to rather serve our own desires. The Thessalonian church, friends, all because of a misunderstanding about the Lord's return, had now lost sight of their focus. They lost their passion, and unfortunately, the sanctuary became a place for gossipers. The sanctuary turned from a sanctuary of hope to a sanctuary of gossip. And friends, I pray for us as a local church that we will never replace the sanctuary of hope for a sanctuary of gossip. That we will refrain from becoming a sanctuary of idleness. But I pray that this house shall be called a place of restoration, a place where the broken are made whole, where healing waters flow and mercy abides here, where God's Spirit abides here in all of its fullness. That this place will be a place where people are busy doing the work of the Lord, engaged in fulfilling the great commission of our Lord and Savior. A people that is too busy for foolishness, too busy to be caught up in nonsense and things that don't add value to bringing glory to his name. Hallelujah. But secondly, and finally this morning, not only does Paul let us know that the Thessalonian church had lost their passion and they lost their productivity because of idleness and gossip, but Paul lets us know, second and finally, the resolution. What should we do if we've lost our passion? What should we do if we've slipped into a state of doing nothing? What should we do if we've lost our focus on the things of God's kingdom? Well, Paul lets us know right here in the text that the resolution and the solution to idleness is simply for the church to refocus our passion towards making a difference for Christ. Can we say refocus our passion? Hallelujah. Now, many of you here, you know how much I was passionate about football. You know how I loved football. I still do today, but back then I really loved football. It was the apple in my eye. It was football and nothing else. And you know what blessed me this past Monday, and I'm so glad that Joseph is here. I had no idea he was going to be here today. But for a while, Joseph, young Joseph, he's been encouraging me to get back, you know, to get involved in playing some local football in the community. And he invited me this past Monday to go and play some football with a majority of retired lads. I don't know what he was trying to infer by... But for those of you who can cast your minds back to Monday, it was bitterly cold. And as the time, Monday's my day off, and as the time was drawing close for Joseph to come and meet me, and we were making our way there to SCC, I was thinking in my heart and mind, and I said to my wife, I said, well, it's a bit cold out there, you know. I don't know if I love football like that anymore. I don't have the same passion for it as I did back when I was 16 years of age. And I was about to come up with some excuses to Joseph and say, you know what, Joe, maybe next week. But yeah, I said, you know what, I'm going to stick it out. And as cold as it was, I would say, I'm going to go. And it was a wonderful time to play football. And it was hard work, I tell you that. But it was good to get back out there and just to run and play football and enjoy and talk with some of the other guys in the community. But as I was reflecting on that, there are times in all of our lives when we do, just like myself, you just don't have the same passion as you used to for something. And even from a spiritual perspective, sometimes we can look back over our lives and we can say, wow, we were so actively involved in ministry. We were so involved in serving the kingdom of God. We were so passionate. We were so involved. It consumed us with a deep desire and passion But perhaps you're here this morning and you're looking back and you're reflecting and saying, I don't know if I still have that same burning desire. I don't know if I still have the same love as I used to. Perhaps life has got in the way. Perhaps circumstances in life, and even the things that we're going through in our lives, the natural human reaction is to down tools or to stay away, to no longer show up and serve, to stop even coming to church. And don't get me wrong, sometimes isolation is good for the soul, but it should never be a permanent state. As Solomon lets us know, iron sharpens iron. And sometimes when we don't feel like serving the kingdom of God, when we don't feel like serving on the team in the church, can I encourage you, instead of quitting, what we really should be doing is taking a leaf out of the book of jump starter leads. Can we say jump starter leads? There's a lot that we can glean from the vantage point of jump starter leads. Back in Catford when I was growing up in London, sometimes my neighbor Josh, he would knock on our door. He would ask for my dad. And he would say, David, can I borrow your jump leads? And for those of you who know what I'm talking about, that literally means that if I connect my dormant car that has a loss of power, it's lost its power to move. The battery has lost its power. It's lost its juice. But if I connect my dormant car, my dormant battery, that has lost its juice, lost its power, and if I connect it to a car that has the power, then my dormant car that has no power, if it is connected to a car that has the power, then the jump leads is able to get the car that has lost its power to start again. Well, friends, so in the natural, so in the spiritual. Because there are times in our lives, and for my wife and I, we went through that over the Christmas period. There are times when you don't feel like coming to church. There are times when you just want to stay away, where you just want to sit back and do nothing. And the enemy will play on that and say, stay away from the ark of safety. But what should we really do when we've lost our passion, when we've lost our desire to do the work of the Lord? What we should do is get into the sanctuary and hook up with a fellow believer who has some power. And if we join hands and connect with a fellow believer, then they can encourage us and build us up in the faith. Because iron sharpens iron. So if I'm feeling low, church, the enemy wants me to stay away, to stay in isolation. But what we ought to do is come into the sanctuary of hope. And if I connect with my brother, come on, brother, I want a demonstration. And if I connect, let's link arms. And I connect to the power source of Joshua, who has been praying, who has been fasting, who has been seeking the face of God. And if I'm feeling low and depleted, then Josh can encourage me. Because iron... Thank you, Josh. Iron sharpens iron. And that's what the church is all about. When one person is in sorrow, when one person is in bereavement, we all share that grief. And we don't forsake our own. We come alongside. We say, can I help you, brother? Can I help you, sister? You may be feeling low. Your battery, your spiritual batteries may be low. But I'm here for you. I'll pray with and for you. I'll encourage you. And I can testify, when you do that, you can leave this place feeling so much more encouraged to go on and to run this Christian race for the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, who am I speaking to this morning who has lost their passion, lost their desire for the kingdom of God? I hear the Lord speaking this morning, it's time to refocus your passion. I want to light that flame again in your heart, that you can do the things that I'm calling you to do. And I want to encourage, for those of you perhaps you're thinking, because of my age, that's the reason why I've lost my passion. Don't allow age, it's just a number, to stop you from pursuing your passion. There's still work for you to do. Being passionate is not just reserved for the young people. It's for every generation. We can be passionate about the things of the Lord. And finally, I didn't get to this, but I've got to say this in closing. I want to go back to the Thessalonian church as we close. There's something that I like about them, although they misunderstood what Paul was saying. They interpreted Paul's message to mean that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetimes, so they quit their jobs and they did nothing. But I like the desire they had to expect the return of Jesus. And I want to encourage us as a church, it is a good thing to be waiting and expecting the Lord's return. But as we wait, the call is not for us to do nothing, but we must be doing the work of the Lord until he comes. So yes, we are waiting for him to return, but our wait is not idle. We don't sit back with our arms crossed and do nothing, but we must be busy doing the work that he has left us to do until he comes. The Bible does not give us the date, the time, the hour when Jesus will come, but he has told us he is coming. So until he comes, his church must be busy doing the work that he has called us to do. So let us replace idleness with passion for his kingdom, and let us get rid of the gossip to be doing the work that he has called us to do. And I've said it in the notes, I want to dismantle and break the ground of sometimes a very misogynist view in our society today that meddling and gossip is only reduced to females. That is so far from the truth. Because us men can be just as gossipers as anyone else. So it's not just a woman thing, it's a man and a woman thing. We've got to deal with the sin of gossip, because it can cause pain amongst the body of Christ. It can cause tension amongst the body of Christ. God doesn't want us to be a gossiping church, but he wants us to be a church of hope, restoration, and the joy of the Lord emanating through the congregation. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us such a clear mandate in your word that we are to go into all of the world, proclaim and to preach the gospel to every person, that we must baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we must teach them to observe all the things which the Lord Jesus commanded his disciples. Father, would you help us as a church that, Lord, we would not lose sight of the passion and the motivation to do kingdom business. Lord, would you help us, for any of us on the team this morning that has lost their passion, lost their way in serving, lost their desire for church and for ministry, I pray today that, Lord, you would reignite that passion for doing your bidding. Help us, Lord, to fall back in love with doing your will, to fall back in love with serving on the team, to fall back in love with seeking to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Because we know only what we do for Christ will last. So would you help us as a church now, as we seek to fulfill your great commission, would you ready us, would you prepare our hearts, that we would not be busybodies, but we would be busy doing the work of the Lord. So we thank you and we bless you now, and we thank you that your hand is on your church. Lead and guide us now in the way that we should go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Our worship team are coming back as we draw the service to a close. And we're going to sing together, just like the Thessalonian church who were expecting the Lord to come in their lifetimes. We're going to stand and sing together that song, Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Great is the darkness. Thank you. Amen. Thank you so, so much for your participation in the service today. Just a quick notice for all of the men. There is going to be our first men's ministry meeting of the year. It's taking place on the 30th of this month, and it's going to take place right here at the church at 7:30 p.m. So all the men in the house, please mark your diaries, your calendars to meet us here for a great time of fellowship with the men. That's the 30th of January at 7:30 p.m. And also, please be reminded that this evening, the churches together in Sittingbourne are coming together to start the week of prayer, and it starts this evening, and we are hosting the first night. So if you can join us here this evening at 6:30, we're going to be here together with our fellow Christians in the area praying for the town. So please meet us if you are able. That will be great. Please do join us in the church lounge for teas and coffees and a chance to chat and fellowship. We pray that you will have a wonderful week. Well, as we leave this place, take the blessings of the Lord with you. As we leave this place, depart to serve. Take his word. Share his word. He will lead you and he will guide you always. Until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Love all of you. God bless you.